Have you ever been in a situation where you couldn't see what was happening? Maybe you were working on something or attempting something, but you couldn't see the results until much later. For instance, the other day, we have a group over on Tuesday nights for a little bit of study time, and we have dinner together, and I decided to make dinner in our little Instant Pot pressure cooker. And I can tell you right now, I hated that process. Because I put a bunch of stuff in it, and I closed the lid, and I pushed a button, and then like a while later, it said it was done, and you couldn't smell what was cooking, you couldn't see what was cooking, so everyone's ready to eat dinner, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to open this lid, and if the food looks bad, the oven is preheated, and I'm going to put in a pizza. So let's see what happens. And luckily, it turned out okay, but I did not like the process of not seeing what was happening. To do your work and then not know what's going to happen. Sometimes you're having that experience because you can hear something, but you can't see it. You know, you've probably had that at night in your house, where it's your house, and you're used to most of the sounds, but then you hear something a little different. Maybe an animal is scratching away outside, and you have to think to yourself, well, what kind of animal would be at my house at this time of night? Not a dangerous one, right? We don't see too many black bears around here. When we lived in Minnesota, we came home one day from a little shopping trip, pulled up to our house, and as we got out of the car and people were starting to go inside, I saw something out in the trees beside our house, out in the dark section where the woods kind of started. And I kind of walked out there, and meanwhile, my wife went inside, and the dog's having a fit, and so she goes to the back door and lets the dog out, and that's about when I saw that a bear was just in our backyard, and it went scurrying off when the dog came running out, and I was like, okay, well, there was a big animal just real close to our house, and we learned when you had to take down the bird feeders and things, because if you didn't take them down, the bear would come and take them down for you. And break them and spread seed everywhere. And the last thing we wanted was a bear coming to our house every night. It just didn't seem like a good idea. When you hear those kind of things, you can be worried. I've been worried just hearing the sound of kids in the other room. Sometimes because they made too much noise, you have the kids playing in the other room while you're talking with the adults, and then you start hearing some screams. Like, let's just give it a second. Yep, no, they need an adult. And you go in there, and sometimes it's because someone's getting hurt. Sometimes they're just playing a game that involves screaming. Okay, well, you guys could make it a little bit more clear when you actually need help. Sometimes it's the opposite. The kids are playing in the other room, and suddenly you don't hear anything. Wait a second. What's going on in there? And you found out they found a can of paint or something. And in the midst of making a big mess, they all realized, we should be very quiet about this. No more sound from anyone. Let's just put all the pillows on the paint spot. No one will even notice until it's too late to do anything about it. You had to tell them, if you had just told us right away, we could have done something about this, you know. The pillows didn't all have to be red. I always thought that I would make a good blind person. I told my wife this, that, you know, when it's dark in the house, I feel like that hardly slows me down at all. I can be fine walking around our house, pitch black. I don't need to turn the lights on at night. Get up, there's a sound in the night. I'll walk through the house just at normal speed, just based on my memory. And she said, Andrew, you run into stuff all the time. I said, yeah, but it doesn't slow me down. It can be good to see what's going on. Those times when you get a little peek at what happens that you don't normally get to see can be great. I enjoy watching things like little time lapses of like cookies baking or bread in the oven. Because when I bake something, I never sit there and just watch it for 12 to 14 minutes. I go do something else until the timer dings. Seeing the time lapse, you think, oh, so that's how the cookie kind of oozes down and then rises up and firms up. That's how the bread rises and the crust forms. Or maybe you see the kids in the other room and you step in. they don't notice you right away, so they just keep playing their games. Huh. Look at that. Look how peaceful and nice they're being with one another. So maybe this is how they play all the time. Nope, they hit one another. Okay, this is why I was coming in here. To see those moments of what's really happening. And I think it's like that with our spiritual life as well. Because in our spiritual life, we don't always see the results right away. Maybe we take up a new spiritual practice, a new devotional book, and you get some feedback right away because you know if you're enjoying it in the moment, but it can take a while before you really see what's happening in your life as a result of it. Am I actually learning more? Am I learning to trust God more in things? Is my heart being changed by this, or is it just making me happy for a few minutes in the morning? Those spiritual practices where, especially if the answer we are looking for or the growth we are looking for doesn't come immediately, it can be easy to wonder, should I stick with this or should I change to something else? Planting a garden is like that. You do a lot of work at the beginning and you get the plant set up, and by the time it's ready for harvest, you can't really go back and change it. You've put in a few months of work, or at least a few months of watching things grow, and at the end you say, I got one pumpkin the size of a baseball. I think I did something wrong, and it's too late to go back and fix it. In our spiritual life, it can feel like that. I've been putting time into this. I've been putting effort into it. What is God doing behind the scenes? What is really happening in the spiritual realm? Why am I not seeing my answer yet? What is happening? We see today a story of Daniel. Of course, we've been going through the book of Daniel. We're into the section of Daniel's visions and the prophecies of the future. Chapter 10 really is an introduction coming into this longer prophecy that we see in chapters 11 and 12, which we'll cover next week. Here, though, we see the introduction to that. What leads Daniel to this vision and this explanation that he receives, and it shows a lot of what is happening in the spiritual realm. So we're going to read from Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar, and the word was true, and it was a great conflict, and he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep, with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly loved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of great courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side except against these except Michael, your prince. And as for me, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence and for the gift of your word. And we ask that you would give us understanding today. Let your word touch us and transform us. Strengthen and encourage us and help us to know you better. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here, Daniel sees a little bit behind the curtain, as it were. This occasion in verse 1, it's not 100% clear if this is meant to be a summary of this whole vision or if this is something that happened beforehand. I think it's meant to be chronologically beforehand, that he sees this word revealed to him, and then this later part gives him the explanation of it. We don't see the first vision that he has, but that this vision in verse 1 drives him in verse 2 to weeks of mourning. That he was mourning for 3 weeks. That he devotes himself to mourning and to prayer. It says in verse 3, I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. This time spent in humbling himself, seeking understanding from God. That's what it says in verse 12. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. I have come because of your words. We see that this vision, this knowledge of the future, drives Daniel to prayer, to serious prayer. It doesn't seem that his prayers are centered so much on asking God to change what is happening. That he's praying in response to a vision, a word from God that he's received. He has some confidence in it, and at the same time, it does drive him to mourning, to humbling himself, to seeking understanding. He takes this time seriously. You notice that he has a type of fasting, not from all food, but from all delicacies, from all comforts, eating no meat or wine, not anointing himself at all, putting away the pleasures of the life around him to devote himself in this time of mourning and prayer. Daniel has an item he is burdened by, and he wants to devote himself to prayer. If you've never tried fasting in a variety of different ways, it is an easy way to help convince yourself to take the time to pray, to put some limits on what you are doing that might distract you. It is so easy, even with very serious things, to go and find distractions. Joys in this world, which are not bad in themselves. Daniel, you know, is not saying that meat and wine and lotion are bad to use. But rather, the joys of this world, the delicacies, the other things that he would enjoy in his life, he knows would distract him from focusing on his heart condition, the way that he really feels. This is a pretty common thing to do for everybody. If you're feeling bad, well, go get a donut and perk up a little bit. It doesn't really solve the problem, but it can be a little distraction. It can cheer you up a little. And there is a time for that, a time to encourage and cheer each other with the good things that God gives in this world. But there are also times when the things on our heart are serious, and we want to focus ourselves on prayer, on worship, on seeking understanding, on humbling ourselves, when it's not the right time for the distractions of the joyous things of life. Daniel takes time to go and pray, seeing that a great conflict is coming. He humbles himself. Even if this great conflict won't be for his time, Daniel is an old man at the time. He's very unlikely to be called into any kind of war himself. He goes to prayer, to mourning, to seeking understanding. And then we see that Daniel receives an answer. The angels are dispatched. This is one of the longer descriptions of an angel in the Bible overall. Sometimes you see, if you look online, people will post these pictures of like a biblically accurate angel, and it's something from Ezekiel of eyes and wings and wheels. And we do see images like that in Scripture, but far more likely, more common in the messengers that God sends is someone in appearance like a man. Here, Daniel sees, in verse 5, behold, a man clothed in linen. You see the brightness, the whiteness of his garment. A belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. I don't get the sense that he asked him, excuse me, where did you get that belt? But instead that he saw the shining, glittering belt, and he says, this is as good as the gold from Uphaz. His body was like beryl. Of course, beryl is a type of a class of gems. So a variety of gems are there, and the element beryllium was named because it's a common element that kind of gives the shine and the glistening to those class of gems. So a gem-like glistening appearance. His face, like the appearance of lightning. His eyes, like flaming torches. His arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. A man, and yet definitely not a man. He's far too bright, far too loud. He's shining in every surface. We see similar pictures in the appearance of angels, sometimes even more subtle and more just man-like, that they are not recognized as angels immediately, but oftentimes a man who appears and the people around there definitely know right away, this is not a regular guy. They're not just going to take his order at Starbucks. They fall down in fear. Too bright. Too powerful. We see Daniel has the same response. In verse 9, he said, I retained no strength, and I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. This angel may have been a pastor, because as soon as he starts speaking, people fall asleep. The words are too powerful. He can't listen. He is touched and set up on his hands and knees. Now he can respond. In the midst of this appearance, though, the angel showing up, and indeed the next two chapters of the angel speaking to him and laying out the meaning to him, we see a few things that you might not expect to see looking at God sending his angels. Because the angel doesn't just say, I've come here to bring you a message. He doesn't just say, here's the answer that you've been looking for. Instead, he gives some of his backstory. you don't really see this when the angel appears to Mary in the New Testament. He doesn't tell about where he's been traveling from and how he got there. He just shows up and gives the message. But this time, we see a little bit more behind the scenes. Starting in verse 12, for instance. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand, your words have been heard. In verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. And came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. What is going on in that verse? So Daniel began to pray. He calls out to God, and his prayer is heard, and an angel is dispatched, and the prince of the kingdom of Persia stops him. For 3 weeks, this prince stands against the angel of God. First, I think it is clear that this prince mentioned there, and we see by comparison, Michael, who is also called a chief prince, is now referring to a human leader. There's no person on earth who can delay an angel for 3 weeks. These are spiritual princes, spiritual forces that are opposed to one another. We see this in Revelation as well, that war is made in heaven. It's not clear what this war composes of. I don't think we can look at a text like this and say, well, you know, his face flashes with lightning, so anytime you see lightning, that must be angels fighting in the clouds. That's a bit of a stretch. But there is some type of spiritual battle that happens. There are real spiritual forces, and they are in conflict with one another. So this angel shows that others have stood against him. Michael comes and helps him. These angels are bringing messengers. They are messengers of God, which just raises more questions. When God is sending his messenger, how can his messenger be delayed? How could this happen that an angel would be stopped in his message to Daniel? Really, in this chapter, we see the power of God, but the power of God applied according to the wisdom of God. The power of God is made evident. We see that in just his ability to send this angel in the first place. The power of God showing in the bright appearance of the angel, the messengers that he sends. And we know the power of God that this angel, according to God's will, could break through any resistance. No one can stop what God is trying to do. At the same time, we see God in his wisdom responding in his own way and his own time. It would be foolish to look at a passage like this and say, I guess sometimes it just takes God 3 weeks to finally get around to helping. You're learning the wrong lesson. Here we see the spiritual reality, which we hopefully are encouraged by, to understand the power of prayer to shape spiritual conflict really around the world, as forces in various places and associated with various lands seem to be brought into this conflict. But we also see God's wisdom in knowing how and when to respond to our prayers. Although it's not explained in this passage, there are a lot of easy options for why God might delay his messenger for 3 weeks. It may have been good for Daniel to spend that time in mourning, good for his spiritual development, or preparing him to hear the message and the explanation. I know if you've ever put a little bit of effort into something and gotten some answer or some result, it doesn't feel nearly as good as if you've put a lot of effort into something, even if the result is not much different. If you point to a piece of furniture in your house and say, yeah, I knocked this thing out in a couple hours one weekend. It does a fine job. That probably doesn't mean as much to you as if you say, now this one in the corner, my dad and I spent 3 years working on this thing. Whenever we could find time together, we went and got a little bit of time in the shop and made it and put it together, and I'm never going to get rid of that thing. This one, if it broke, throw it away. I can make another one if I really want it. Sometimes the time that is spent helps us to understand the importance of what is going on. In the midst of this, God makes clear to Daniel that he is at work the whole time. Even though his answer is coming to him after 3 weeks, the angel was doing work that whole time. He had already begun the conflict. Daniel is worried about a great conflict to come, about the wars and how they will affect the people of God. God makes it clear that his power is already at work. He has already begun the battle. This vision will be for times to come, but God is at work today. We see the same thing for us. God's power, wrapped up in the spiritual authority that he has in this world, the authority over all things. That today, God is, at least unless you guys are keeping it a secret from me, not routinely sending you angels in this style to come and talk to you and answer your prayers. But the Holy Spirit is with us. God's power is with us. And the promises of God that still include future conflict and a future time of judgment and a future restoration, those promises last for today. They show God's power that is at work now and is to be fulfilled later. The promises we have, the knowledge of that time of judgment should drive us to prayer and to mourn, especially for those who we know do not yet know Jesus, who have not heard the gospel or accepted it. To take seriously our prayers for them, just as Daniel took seriously his prayers for his people. But in so many of these things, the answer is not quick in coming. For a wayward child, for a neighbor, for someone who is going through a rough time, and you know if they just knew Jesus, they could find joy even in this. God hears our prayer. God is not idle in this world. His power is able to overcome all resistance, but in his wisdom, he times his answers according to his own purposes. To delay 3 weeks to have the messenger get to Daniel, which is never really explained why, in his case, that happened that time. To see in your life perhaps years and years of prayer before you see the answer, before you see how God has been acting behind the scenes for so long. And so many of us have stories personally about that. So many people have stories of, well, when I came to Jesus, from my perspective, it was here. And only later did I find out that my grandma had been praying for 15 years. Only later did I find out that my spouse, who had been going to church that whole time, kept lifting me up in prayer. Answers that, by our perspective, may seem greatly delayed, but to know that God is powerful and at work. We'll see the true message that the angel brings in the next chapters. Great detail that he brings to Daniel of what is to come. That God is not caught off guard and he knows the future in great detail. And he has timed things out according to his will. The spiritual realities of this world should help us remember the power that God has given us in prayer to call on him who can hear and answer, and to trust in him that even when we are in that time of delay, God is at work. Our God is good and powerful, and he is at work today. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy, for your great work in and among us, for us to be reminded of your work in ages past and to be strengthened and comforted by it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Please rise for the benediction.